Hairy Bikers here. This message goes out to something very special.
Yes, we're talking to you, chicken.
Maybe we've been seeing too much of each other.
But times have changed, Dave.
We've been cheating on meat.
Thing is, no stocks make veggie dishes so irresistible that cheating on meat is proper tasty.
Our dear chicken, you were the fire in my life, but it's all about you now, aubergine katsu curry. Prepare to be wined and dined, my love.
Cheat on meat with no veggie stocks.
Okay.
Banana! Banana! Da-da-da! 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 Da-da-da-da! Da-da-da! 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 Isn't easy living free.
Okay, stop.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. This week, there's finally some good news for diesel drivers.
Oh.
Yes, yes. You're looking for...
It's been a long time.
Yes, yes.
It's been a long time.
They reckon it's going to be impossible to phase them out.
Wow.
Oh, I've given it away. I reveal the health bombshell we've been waiting for.
Okay.
And we've got all the latest from the world of rustling. Gav, do you read Rustler? I forgot about that. There should be a magazine for people who rustle, shouldn't
there? Just
they?
For rustling, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
You should start a magazine just for rustlers.
That's right. The best way to get 12 cows onto your own
land. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant, yeah.
Rustling news.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, they should call it Rustler.
They should, yeah. It'd be a great name for that magazine.
It'd be a great name for a mag. Anyway, enjoy this.
Radio X.
At the very top of the show, I promised you the health bombshell we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
This is the biggest ever mover we've ever seen on our... You know, we've got an index of food spin.
Yes.
So we could monitor it. Now, we used to do this when we started the 4 till 7 thing 4 happy years ago.
Mm.
There was so much food PR in the newspapers. Literally, every day there's something. I think we've stopped it.
Do you think so?
Because I think it was such a lazy thing for newspapers to do. When I used to work on a newspaper, there's a thing called nibs, which if you're a junior reporter, that's what you get to do. And effectively, what it is they sit there.
Yeah.
And all these bits of PR come in.
Yeah.
And you don't really question them. You just sort of reword them.
Rehash
and
it.
And just sort of tap and
put it out in. As a little two or three lines.
Yeah, the news in brief, it's called. So food people are massive for that. They're forever doing surveys to say that, you know, 6 out of 10 people would much prefer, you know, and they tailor things according to what they, to suit their product.
So sometimes a bit of wine is good for you, sometimes it isn't, and it goes back
or
and
calamari.
Forth.
Or
calamari.
Anyway, we've got the biggest ever mover on the Foodsy Index of food and wine spin. Here we go. Get this, and it's from a really reliable news source.
Okay.
People should start the morning with a full English breakfast, says a top weight loss doc.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Guess what paper? It's the Star.
Oh.
Put it this way. I don't even think they're online yet.
Well, that was actually, that was led off on the front page, I believe, that story,
it
wasn't
is on
it?
The front
they're
page,
actually led off on the front page itself.
Yeah, well, they tease it on the front.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
It's right
it
there.
Is.
Yeah.
It is. You're right. Fry up, good for you.
Yes. It's official.
Yeah, it's official. So, NHS surgeon. Because it's funny, because I thought it's massive in cholesterol, which you don't want in your blood, because it causes all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But apparently not. Not according to this surgeon, Andrew Jenkinson. He said it'll set, quote, and this is... I mean, it's almost impenetrable, the level of medical language and jargon.
Okay, so it's very scientific, is it?
This is a bit too scientific, but he says it will, quote, set you up just nice for the day.
Whoa! Sorry, you went a bit fast with that. You lost me a bit there.
What he says is
congenial fatty acids.
He says it'll set you up just nice for the day.
I see.
He hasn't added like something really dated, like perfect. Which is quite...
Does he recommend a large mug of splosh
well? No, he doesn't. A mug, he says, especially if you wash it down with barrels of Rosie. No, he doesn't say that. He says, but he's warned people who diet that they always end up fatter than when they started. So he's warning against diets.
Right.
And he says, start the day with a fry up, because according to this NHS surgeon, it will set you up nice.
I'm not sure about that.
I doubt this.
Well,
science.
He said, imagine you're taking your great gran round the shops.
Yeah.
If there's any food she doesn't recognise, don't buy it.
What?
Well, there's something in that, in I guess, in terms of things that are processed. So you only buy, like, fresh ingredients.
Well, I don't know. I just I think the problem I'd have there is probably digging her up.
Anyway. There's rules against that.
No,
sort
I would.
Of thing.
I was just going to say, I mean, just be quite odd. And
how would she express
odd
whether
for
she
other
likes
shoppers
the
having a sort of 40-year-old corpse in a shopping trolley and taking it around? I'm not sure.
The science not is sure not sound, Santa.
I'm not sure. But again, the star is they're aimed at people. Remember, who are already grandmas by the time they're 14.
Right,
just about.
Sure.
So suet must thin the blood then by that
absolutely
logic.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Anyway, he advises against toast with your eggs. He says all you want. Nice bit of fried bread.
Radio X.
Are you ready for this? This surprised me today. There's a giant leap in rabbit hutch housing.
What?
Yeah.
Rabbit hutch housing?
The number of rabbit hutch homes. That's a home below 37 square metres.
Ah. No, so human houses.
Yes. No, it's not. I know. Right. Everything about the headline. And actually, I've got to tell you, I was drawn in, but I was thinking, are things getting that bad out there?
Have we really got that many rabbits?
Look at him all crammed in there like one of those contortionist acts. No idea. Could you fill up me water?
So tiny little homes.
Yes, but this time of year, I think it's a very practical way as it gets... We've got a lot of very old people with great properties they're not using.
Yeah.
Massive properties. They've really benefited. The people at the old lot now, the Grey Army, boy, have they benefited from the property explosion and also not fighting in a war.
Yeah, that's true. And free university education as well.
Yeah, in that they're alive, yeah?
Yes.
And look what they've handed us after Brexit. Anyway, the point is that we need to get them out of the houses and as it gets colder, all that heating they're using up.
I know where you're
going. To get them in big piles of fluff.
Yes.
Oh. Whole farms.
Bit of newspaper under the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it...
That we haven't got to heat Britain just to keep... Just heating all these houses just to keep one old deer alive to watch telly.
In a big drafty house.
Yes. Just literally a life support system for a being, an entity, to watch telly.
So you think get them into smaller houses?
No, rabbit
hutch.
You've missed phase one. Ah. Sedate them.
Oh yes, right. Then line the rabbit hutch homes.
No,
and
phase
do you
two.
Get several in there so they can share body heat.
Oh, I like it.
Like cram them in together.
I hadn't thought of it. But it's more cost effective. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah,
much more cost effective. We could pack them in.
You only need a few of these buildings.
Yes.
Yeah,
you can head to tail. Come on, girls. Head to tail.
Sardines. You remember sardines?
Not in here, Percy. Men's is through there. Maud. Head to tail.
Whose foot is that in my ribs?
Sedator.
Yeah.
And then we sprinkle on the fluff in each layer. You're right, Gav, like layers.
Just layers.
Like one of those biscuit gattos.
Yes, exactly right.
And that's what you'd say, actually, is you sedated them. Come to them. I mean, this is all off the top of my head.
Oh, we're just spitballing.
You'd say, that's it, Rose. That's it, Gwen. Just like a biscuit gatto. Oh, I like the thought of that.
Would you like to be the filling?
Yeah. And as they're all there, all chattering, we're like a little nice biscuit gatto.
Bug in here. And then a little bit of snoring.
And then loads
of snoring.
And then sedated.
And I would also harvest the warmth and send that to other homes.
Like the Matrix.
Because they're like giant batteries, these
like
homes.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Like you're saying put pensioners in pods.
I think it makes sense.
To heat bread. You're right. They've got to live for some purpose.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely
and
right.
And give something back.
But also, unlike the Matrix, it wouldn't change a lot of their lifestyles. No. You wouldn't have to project.
Oi, all you need is a screen with Antiques Roadshow on it.
Midsummer Murders. Right.
Songs of Praise.
Yeah.
On a loop.
Yeah.
On a circular loop.
Just loop it around. They wouldn't know.
No.
You could just keep them in that Sunday slot.
With the occasional cash in the attic to keep them thinking.
Just to keep them. We might have some of that upstairs. And just to keep, because they're only, remember, the only thing that keeps them really alive is avarice.
trying to keep their money out of those
trying to stop
grasping
people,
relatives.
He heapeth up riches and cannot tell who shall gather it. Well, I bloody will. But you keep them in those matrix-like pods.
Yeah.
The heat comes out. In exactly the same sort of farms.
It's a lovely
Maybe
story.
That's how the Matrix started. They never explain why they started, how they started to put humans there. It would have been pensioners.
It would.
They're thinking, we're keeping most of the world alive, that's doing nothing and actually messed up the world we live in.
I know, smuggle them all together.
I really hope both sets of your kids are listening to this.
Listen, do you know something? There is nothing more pointless than age.
Yeah.
Quote me on that, yeah? Well, I mean, you just go past a row of pensioner houses on a train and look in there and you just look at them and you think, why? I don't think that at all. All right, Mum. I'll see you on Sunday for your birthday.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I'm afraid those the £1 million they spent on bat bridges so that bats could cross an A road.
Yeah.
That cost £1 million. It may not be working. And that's all we're told at this time. Apparently, it's not in a bat's makeup. He's not used to it. He's not. He wasn't expecting humans to build a bridge. Also, he can't particularly see them, apparently, because he comes out at night.
Radio X. Radio X.
Rustling gangs are stealing sheepdogs to help them round up large number of sheep at night.
What?
Yeah, they're using stolen sheepdogs.
It's bad enough they're stealing the sheep, now they're stealing the dogs.
I only say it because how do you, you know, you think about it. You think about being, you and me, Gav, in our little van.
In the van, yeah.
Say a little Peugeot van. Say that's what we're using.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I like it.
I don't know why. Could be a Ford.
I like the plan.
Could be a Ford. Yeah. Could be a Seat. We don't know. But let's say it's a little Peugeot van. Okay. A nice little, like, one that would be a hatchback. And that's what you'd have bought. But there's no VAT on little vans.
Right. So it's not got no windows in the back. Yeah, it's a van. Yeah.
Yes, we've got it as that. And in actual fact, we're using it as a dog walking vehicle.
Sure.
We've got a little van and we're thinking, there's that sheepdog there. And we're seeing the shepherd there like that. And we know the shepherd doesn't particularly care about them. They don't.
They're just a working tool.
For them, it might as well just be like a trial bike.
Yeah. It's true.
No, but you and me are going, I'm going, hang on, Gav. Wait till he goes.
Wait till he goes.
You wait till he goes, Gav.
Yeah.
Radio reenactments. Really cheap. Wait a second, Gav. Yeah. Wait. He's gone. He's gone. Get him.
And you've got a sheepdog.
That's it, you've got your sheepdog in the back. Now, the thing is, once you've got your sheepdog, the thing is, you shouldn't be looking for, like, the stolen sheepdog. You should be looking for the sort of guys who can operate one. A sheepdog operator or shepherd.
Right.
Because he's got to know the right call.
Yeah, he's the commandant. Yeah, he's the day man.
He's the day guy. Yeah. So what, these guys also know exactly the right whistles, do they?
That's a really good point. Unless that's somehow record them or something.
Right. I don't know. Well, they play them back.
Yeah, really loud out of a speaker.
So you're saying they're in hedges.
That's right, yeah. With hi-fi gear.
With hi-fi, with like those long boom mics. Like a shepherd.
With a guy saying, actually, no, press that whistle, not that one.
And also you're recording ultrasonics.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. For dogs to
hear.
She
wouldn't even hear it.
Wow. This is complex.
Yeah, but so that means to steal them, all you got to do is just wait for the shepherd to go, and then he's in there like that, and you just start replaying back the whistles. It'll just come, and everything's...
And the dog
moves. How come that dog just leapt out that barn and just went to that car, saying, because they called him?
No, he's working for someone else, doesn't even know.
And now, you're taking that out, you've got its recording, so literally, we've now got our sheep-stealing app.
Yeah.
And we're putting out sounds, which is literally like, we've just got the commands there. We don't even have to learn the whistles.
No, just bring here.
Yeah, we haven't got to do what the shepherd does.
No.
Anyone could do that now. Like one man and his dog, all you've literally got to do is just record the shepherd's winning whistles.
and do them in the right
order. And just do them in the right order.
That's it, simple.
And so what does he do for this one? I'll tell you what, it's 1, 4, and 9.
So it'd be one man and his phone.
You just press, exactly right.
It'd just
one
be
man
easy.
And his, Yeah, his Shap.
And he's
It's called, it's not Shep. Shap. It's the Shap app.
The Shap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I rather like that.
Really easy.
But also, once you're nicking sheep, you need a big lorry as well.
You do.
So we've got our little Peugeot van.
Yeah.
And always Peugeot's really good. It's like, I tell you why, because no one notices Peugeot vans.
No, they just disappear.
You might as well stick a cloaking device on it.
That's true.
I'm not kidding.
No, it's true.
I'm not. They're, it's almost like sci-fi.
It really
levels
is.
Levels of anonymity.
It is.
We don't need a cloaking device. But what about the police? Won't they spot us?
No,
Peugeot
worry.
Van? They won't they just wave us through.
Yeah.
No one will spot us. We're no trouble. Anyway, Gav, I just wonder how you feel. When you get back to your barn, you got your stolen sheep with a stolen sheepdog, and you're sitting there. There must be a sense of job well done.
There must be, because you've done the work of a traditional craft.
Yeah, right. No, but I'm just saying, if you do that,
it's the
you
ultimate...
might as well get in the game legitimately.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
For all the aggro.
It's the ultimate hipster crime.
Get your own sonic sheep, is all I say.
Where would we be without you? The butchers, the bakers, the digital future makers. From BLTs to MOTs, you're the companies that keep us all going. So mind your business, Britain. And so will we, with our £14 billion lending fund to help small businesses. Because deal or no deal, from Downing Street to the High Street, every business is part of something far, far bigger. Find out how HSBC could help you at business.hsbc.uk/mindyourbusiness. All lending subject to status.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Right, as you know, Tej, that's my good self, I'm a busy guy. Yeah?
Sure.
Not just with fitness, but...
Always on the go.
Yeah, no, but also, your brain's a muscle too. I've started reading books.
Right, right. Sure.
Yeah, I'm reading this book at the moment. It's about the Gamma Core.
Right. Right.
When I read books, admittedly, they are about fitness.
It's self-improvement.
But occasionally, yeah. I like a break from that, yeah? And I like to keep abreast of current affairs, yeah?
Uh-huh.
So this is a sign from me being a massive fan of comedy.
Okay.
So I'm a busy guy, right? Yeah. I've got a lot of place to go, people to see, fish to fry.
Mm.
I do this show, this show's podcast, The Kickabout, The Kickabout's podcast, which we do together, Gav.
Yeah.
And also, I don't talk about it, but I do. I had a lot of charity work. A lot of charity work.
Sure, sure.
That's why don't approach me for charity work, because I can't do
anymore.
I can't give anymore. I've got nothing left, you know?
You're all charity now.
Well, not unless you just want to come and, you know, you can come and sponsor me doing stuff by yourselves down the gym.
Sure,
and
sure.
But as long as you don't ask me to chase up the readies.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to take a brief moment to tell you about a new project of mine. It's called Johnny Vaughan's LBC Recall. It's a brand new podcast. I'm doing it. If you like your podcasts without Gavin or Suntor or Little Si on them, this is for you. It's my solo project.
Sure, sure.
I don't know if you've seen Bohemian Rhapsody. This is going to be nothing like that, because it's going to be better.
We're the Genesis, you're the Mike and the Mechanic.
No, I like to see him much more as the Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, okay.
All right? Yeah, I'm like Peter Gabriel.
Sure.
So forget Bohemian Rhapsody, forget that analogy. Yeah. So what's the podcast about, I hear you ask? Well, it's a sideways glance at national talk radio station LBC. I tried to avoid that phrase. Johnny Vaughan takes a sideways glance, but it sort of is.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of LBC. I really do enjoy listening to it. I spend my time ranting at the radio when I'm listening to it. It drives me mad. So I thought, why not I just do this as a podcast?
Brilliant.
Why not I just rant at LBC
and
as a podcast?
It, yeah.
Only because I was doing it with the cab driver and he started laughing.
Okay.
So I thought, and I've been asked to do something, a podcast, separate from radio. So I thought, well, he's laughing. Okay. I'm a huge fan of LBC. In each episode of the new podcast, I'll be highlighting some of my favourite calls and exchanges between its presenters and the general public. Here's a taste. Speaking to LBC roving reporter Rachel Venables, this royal superfan had an impassioned message for Harry and Meghan.
They're going against the Queen, the monarchy. They're not informing her.
Okay, before we go on, he is a royal superfan. If you see him on screen, yes, he looks mildly eccentric. Yet, if we forget his appearance and perhaps gentrify his voice, his words are actually pretty wise. Like that first statement. Listen to him.
They're going against the Queen, the monarchy. They're not informing her.
Let me paraphrase in a manner that is gentrified but bumbling.
Yes, it is. You must inform the Queen.
You must inform the Queen. You simply must.
So, if see the Queen approves it or not?
You do see if the Queen approves it or not. It's up to Her Majesty to approve.
They're doing things. They do things their own selves.
They've done things themselves.
And they could lose the HRH.
You know, they could lose the HRH, which is, that's a serious thing.
She's lived an ordinary life all her life. She can come an actress anytime.
He's been brought up in the royal family. She, of course, is not. She's been an actress, something she could continue at any time. Harry lacks that fallback.
Harry can't. It's a different country to him, North America and Canada.
Harry can't, of course. It's a different country to him. Canada, North America, what have you.
This is going to be damaging. Harry could have a breakdown.
This could be very damaging. Harry has spoken about mental health issues. He could even have a breakdown. One doesn't know.
This is not good.
It's not good. It's not a good situation at all.
It's not right. It's very we're all disappointed. And I feel sorry for the Queen very much.
I mean, it's not all like that.
I want to hear the rest of it.
It's got lots of good. It's got lots of good gear on there. Subscribe now on Global Player or wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, look it up. Global Player or wherever you get your podcast. iTunes could be anywhere. Go there. Thank you.
Radio X.
I was just looking through the papers today, Gav.
Sure.
Do you know something? Here's something you never would expect.
What?
Could ever escape.
Okay.
Yeah? When was the last time you escaped? I'm just interested. When was the last time you felt you escaped?
Yeah, I could. I'd have to think.
83936. When was the last time you escaped? No, it could be at work.
Oh, a couple of days ago, there was a massive throng of school kids about to go onto the escalator at Leicester Square.
Yeah.
And I got smartly in front of them.
Did you?
Before it all got gummed up with too many
nice
bodies.
Nice yeah,
it was
escape.
Real escape. I was really happy.
And that was good use of gummed up.
Yeah, exactly. Really nice. I almost sprinted.
No, I said
to get it
because
done.
Jeff, my bulldog, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
He regularly mounts some plucky escapes.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he knows exactly the shelf that his shampoo's on.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, dogs don't want to get... They don't want to be... They don't
no,
want
they
smell,
don't want to
smell
fast.
Good.
No, no.
In fact, the hard thing after he's... After I have managed to wash him, if he hasn't evaded capture, which he has now for 4 days, is afterwards then trying to keep him somewhere so he won't then go rolling fox poo.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Or something like that, because he wants to refunk.
That's right, yeah. My dogs used to fight each other. After they got shampooed.
Yes.
Because they didn't recognise each other's smell.
Well, no, it's because there's now no top dog associated with smellless. Mm. But Jeff's escapes, they're extraordinary. He can get under. It's what I call...
He's a big hench bulldog.
He's a hench bulldog, but he gets into what I call positions that I describe as Barry Wardrobe. And when he's Barry Wardrobe...
What does that mean?
Well, when he's Barry Wardrobe...
What is that?
It's a character he adopts when he's managed to get underneath something.
Does he flatten out like a sort of frog?
No. He raises himself underneath like anything like a side table or something that's got... It's about a foot clearance above the ground. Something like that.
Yeah.
He'll get underneath something or a bed.
Yeah.
And then what he does is he literally raises his head into it.
Yeah.
So he's like an RSJ.
Yeah.
Or sort of, not an RSJ. Those things that hold up an RSJ. You know,
Acro.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Like a jack.
Yeah, yeah.
He literally gets like that and that's after his escape. It's like, that's it. I just can't get him out.
And so there's no budging him.
There's no
he's
budging.
He's wedged.
Yeah. I try and hook my arm underneath to sort of get him.
Yeah.
And then I just hear...
And the table starts moving.
Yeah, yes, everything starts moving. I think, do you know what? If I do that, it's going to bring everything out, the whole room.
Right.
He's now almost integral with the bed. Bed, floor, dog. But he regularly escapes. And then listen to this. Are you ready for this? The ties at the moment are gripped by the hunt for an escaped giraffe.
A giraffe?
A giraffe.
A giraffe?
A giraffe, you say?
Do you want to keep going? I don't mind, actually. There's not much in the item.
Okay.
We can add a minute with everyone going, do you hear that, Joe? There's a giraffe.
A giraffe?
A giraffe.
Did he say giraffe?
Yeah, he did, yeah. I don't know. If you want to 83936, you want to text a giraffe, I'll read those out. A giraffe. If we get one in, I'll love that.
Yeah.
A giraffe ? So, ties gripped by hunt for escaped giraffe.
A giraffe?
Yeah, a giraffe.
A giraffe?
How does a giraffe escape?
That's what I want to know. A giraffe that made a dash for freedom from a convoy of lorries taking it to a safari park was still on the loose after a 24-hour search.
Go on.
Wow. Yes.
Two giraffes have just been...
Stay free.
It's unbelievable. But where'd you hide your giraffe?
I think because they're really fast, aren't they? They can really cover some ground.
Yeah,
they can cover
ground. So you can't chase it if it's over rough ground.
Two giraffes just been flown in from Africa. They escaped from the poorly secured lorry when it was stuck. But get this, it was stuck in Bangkok.
What?
Oh, mate, maybe he's going to try and buy a Walkman with Megabase. Because there's so many bargains to be had on the streets of...
Now he's got some custom jewellery getting designed for
him. What's the area where you buy all that? Oh, my God. It's not a competition, guys. It's not a competition.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
A fire hose of giraffes.
Oh, someone says it was found dead in a pond. Right. Let's shut that up then.
Oh.
If that's true. I don't believe that's true. That can't be true.
That's very awful.
Oh, tell me that's not true.
Say it ain't so.
Is that... Someone says you're having a giraffe. Not a giraffe, says Fraser in Edinburgh. Yes, Fraser, a giraffe. I hope that pond thing's a lie.
That's a lie.
Is it a lie?
It can't be true.
No, it can't hide in a... It can't hide in a pond.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
It's time to go to page 4 of the Times, where I've got some great news... Decent.
No, you haven't.
Haven't really.
But now on CBeebies, it's time for another adventure with the Diesel Men.
What good news?
Why can't I drive my van here? Terry was in a bad mood.
Yeah.
What's wrong, Terry? I'll tell you what's wrong.
Oh, that diesel! Oh, that doesn't sound very good, Terry.
Oh.
Well, it ain't! Well, I don't think you should punch him in the head.
No.
Are you ready for this? More than 22 million petrol and diesel vehicles could be left on Britain's roads in 2 decades, despite a government pledge to ban the sale of new combustion engine cars.
Ah, so we'd better hold on to our diesel and petrol cars.
Yep.
Wow.
Seems to me... Diesel might... What I want to... Here's
the dream of diesel.
Here's a bit of a question for you guys. I don't want to lay this on you too heavy.
Okay.
But I'm a wondering and a thinking. We could be subject to power cuts, right?
Yeah.
You know, that can happen.
It can happen, yeah.
It can happen. You can be hacked and all power can be turned on.
Yeah.
That's hackable. Yeah?
It is, yeah.
But you can't hack a diesel. No, what I'm saying is, going forward...
Hang on, so you're saying in an apocalyptic future,
no,
where
not
we're facing maybe substantial power cuts, and
yes, yes.
Your greener cars aren't going to be useless.
Yeah, I'll have a barrel of diesel in the garage. Yeah.
You can't beat an oil burner.
You can't beat oil. I'm just saying... But if the time goes, if push comes to shove, and we've got to go to war, yeah? Then we want to be going to war with diesel, not electric.
You're a couple of glove.
I don't want an electric tank.
No.
Electric tank coming towards
fine.
Me. I'm like, wait 300 miles, they'll be knackered.
I think you'll be fine. We're out of PowerPoint. Remember about all the farmers with their tractor diesel.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be, here's a weird thought. Are they going to be electric farmers? No, but will they?
Well, I don't
great
know.
Name
I don't
for
know.
A band. Yeah,
to hybrid tractors.
No. I was thinking. Do android sheep dream of electric? Yeah. Dream of electric farmers? Electric shepherds.
Anyway, I can see a time when we see a hybrid tractor.
I'm just saying. We need to keep a decent diesel fleet.
We've got to keep one toe in the water.
We've got to keep a decent diesel fleet, just in case.
Yeah, because
it's overall nuclear 9 danker.
I would worry about where you're going to store all this diesel.
Massive big
silo.
Great big warehouses.
Big holes in the ground.
No, I tell you where you keep them. As you go up the A1, there are those warehouses that they've sort of like. I think they're run by John Lewis,
right?
And they sort of have them. They've done them these colours, like this, so it looks like the sky.
Oh, right.
So they're sort of camouflaged.
Right.
And always when me and my son go up there to see my mum, we are going up the A1, we're always like, what warehouses? Where?
Can't see them.
I can't see any warehouse. What are you talking about? They're so brilliantly camouflaged. It's
in
always
stealth
our joke.
Mode.
I go, Dad, look at those warehouses. I go, I can't see them. But it's the first one to say that.
Right.
Where do those buildings go? Radio X. Every single day of the week, without fail, we seek heroics. We find it with the Woodman.
So today's hero, Johnny, is a man called Tamás Erdélyi.
I like him already. Where'd you learn the pronunciation?
I didn't. I'm just guessing from the spelling. So he was born...
What, are you improvising Hungarian?
Of course I am.
Recognised as one of the top two most difficult languages on earth to learn, along with the Finnish.
Easily, yeah.
They're classified as being related languages, even though they're nothing like each other, but they're part of the same linguistic family, and they're the only two in that family.
Yeah, they're not Cyrillic, or they're completely different,
they're completely different, but they're nothing like each other. They just did it because, we'll just stick those two in the
we'll
same
just do it differently,
yeah, they're actually different.
So he was born today in 1949 in Hungary, to Jewish parents whose neighbours had hidden them throughout the war. The whole family moved to New York in 1957 after the Hungarian Revolution in 1956, where they settled in Queens, New York. Thomas played guitar in high school in a band in a band called Tangerine Puppets with a school friend called John Cummings. After school, he worked as a sound engineer at the famous Record Plant Studios. He worked on Band of Gypsies by Jimi Hendrix, which is...
That's in LA,
such
record.
Such a good... No, it's in New York.
Is it?
Yeah. And in 1974, he formed a band with John Cummings, who now was calling himself Johnny, a guy called Douglas Colvin...
That'll happen.
...who called himself Dee Dee, and he was the bass player.
It's the Ramones!
Yeah!
Hey!
And Jeffrey Hyman, who was Joey Ramone originally. So I didn't know this. Joey Ramone was the drummer in the Ramones before he was the singer. So there must have been a three-piece.
Yeah.
But as a drummer, he couldn't keep up with the new tempo they wanted to use.
Okay.
So Thomas stepped in. So he was Tommy Ramone. And he was the original drummer with the Ramones.
Gav, you've pulled something out of
your
Dallas guy. I just didn't know. You called him a sound engineer and stuff. Oh!
So he was the drummer from 74 to 78. He played on, co-produced, co-wrote their first three albums...
called The Ramones, Leave Home and Rocket to Russia, as well as their live album It's Alive. He also did all the guitar solos because Johnny Ramone just liked playing rhythm.
That's right.
That's all he did. He was replaced by Marky Ramone, but he carried on producing and managing them after that.
There's a stage of my life I actually thought they were brothers.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
I really did.
I didn't realise there wasn't one of them that had the surname Ramone.
Yeah.
None of them are.
I know, but I sort of thought they were like the sort of the Osmonds of New Wave, you know.
So he co-wrote and played on this. Do you want to hear one?
It's just so good.
I think it's one of the best punk tunes ever.
Yeah, I'd argue whether it's punk or not on the grounds. It's not British.
Well, he said that they modelled themselves after the New York Dolls, which some punk bands even over here sort of mention, but it was more of a Lou Reed Warhol thing than it was
no,
punk.
No, the point is, they might have been punk, but they didn't call themselves
That's
punk.
Right, yeah.
Only the Sex. There's only one punk band. It's the Sex Pistols. That's it.
Correct.
That's it. It's like there's only Levi's.
Yeah.
They're the only... Everything else is... Sorry.
So he wasn't a complicated drummer. I'm going to finish now with the most famous drum intro ever. We keep hearing it all the time. This is him playing the drums. Oh, let's go. Oh, let's go. The bomb is in the
same time. You're going through a tight one. It's very Clash-like, that, isn't it?
Really is. Let's salute him, Thomas... What, Tommy Ramone?
Tommy Ramone. Do you know, I really love the Ramones. And they are always so cool. I don't know why.
They just are.
Do you know the key influence on them was?
I do. It was Bay City Rollers.
The Bay City Rollers. Yeah, that's how they tried to sound like.
Genius move. They had hit record after hit record.
Yes, but,
absolutely.
But
brilliant.
They just wanted to be like, they just wanted to get the Bay City Rollers sound. Isn't that so weird?
So weird.
Well, actually, no, because Shang-A-Lang was a good single. There's no doubt about it. I love Shang-A-Lang.
Well, he wrote Blitzkrieg Bop as well. So he wasn't just a drummer, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Tommy Ramone.
Tommy Ramone. Gav, that was brilliant. Can we do a Ramone a week from now on?
Definitely.
Yeah. Wednesday's always been Ramone.
I'll check their birthdays.
It's probably enough. If you did The Fall, featured an artist from The Fall, there's been 63 members of The Fall.
Keep going,
yeah. Mind you, they're dreadful.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yeah.
You might remember a while ago, there was a Radio Times, that ridiculous magazine. They had a vote for the world's most popular ever breakfast television presenter.
Yes, I do remember this. Yeah.
And for a while, Eamon Holmes was getting away with it. And then we put a little bit of emphasis on it, and you voted by the million.
Yeah.
And we were miles ahead.
Miles ahead.
But Radio Times had clearly already done the winning photo shoot with Eamon Holmes.
Yes.
So they were really...
As a result...
Well, Big Si was calling up every... He was calling him up saying, but it should be shut. They're going, well, they're going to keep it open for a bit. And then they took the results offline for a while.
And then later said, oh, yes, it was Eamon just at the last second.
So when I saw him out and about at a restaurant, you know, I wanted to rip him apart. Really.
Sure.
I wanted to drag him into the car park
and finish
it the man's way.
Yeah.
Literally stripped to the waist in a skip.
A proper stand-up straightener.
Maybe a couple of badges in there as well.
Could have sold tickets to that.
Easily sold tickets.
Just to keep it spicy.
Yeah.
But we made up. Yeah,
okay.
And I said to him, actually, do you know what? What am I doing? Yeah, I am more popular and better. But the fact is, he's done it longer.
Of course he
has. And
have
you seen his body?
Wow.
He's hauled that out of bed every morning.
Every morning, yeah.
Does he go down your gym?
No, of course he doesn't. Come on. We've got a 5% body fat rule there. So.
Sure.
Anyway, listen, the point is, Phil Schofield.
Yeah.
Him and Eamon were on the... They had a backstage clash at the National TV Awards. Here's what went down. Eamon Holmes appeared to grab this morning's gong from Philip Schofield in a backstage clash at the NTAs. Yeah?
Wow.
I'm not saying it's a low-key TV Awards. It's the sort of thing for the warm-up, they get the crowd to do Mexican waves.
Okay.
Yeah? Sure. It's not something that happens at the BAFTAs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do.
I really hope Eamon Holmes was really angry and wasn't joking.
Of course he wouldn't be joking. No, he takes himself so seriously. The Ulsterman. He was furious after Schofield hugged his wife, Ruth Langsford, who's a really, really great girl, certainly. Just okay, go on. Brilliant. I hope you're listening, Amy, but she's brilliant. And, and let me tell you, mate, you're punchy. Anyway, he's previously made a complaint against the presenter, but ITV insiders, which generally means they're just making it up. Yeah. Once you've got... But unofficially, the Sun was told. Yeah. That's it. But just that's it.
Yeah.
I've long argued that no one listens to government or any direct official sources now. No. If you want to get the message out there, you say, but one unofficial, but later an unofficial source.
Whitehall
source. Precisely what we... I'll tell you who's the laziest at that. Foreign correspondents.
Yeah.
They use taxi drivers. One taxi driver told me, the people are sick of this. Yeah. They can't take it anymore. Yeah. They need a break from the... Yeah. Another taxi driver told me, an old washerwoman told me another convenient quote that stops me having to interview anyone. Yeah, right. Anyway, ITV insiders called Schofield's apparent show of unity disingenuous. They were all on the stage together,
right,
looking like they're a happy family, which anyone who actually works with Phil knows they never are. It turns out they're not.
Mm. No.
I've met Phil a few times. He seems like a good bloke.
He seems really nice.
I remember him from, what was it, Going Live? Sure. Gordon the Gopher?
Yeah.
I can't believe that guy. I can't believe that guy's got a bad bone in his body, but I've met Holmes.
Sure.
Yeah? And that guy's competitive.
Sure.
Angry Eamon Holmes. Clash backstage with Phil. What happened is, well, actually, it's not really important what happened. What's important going forward is that him and Phil fight.
And absolutely.
And Ruthie's just there holding the award.
Definitely.
Because it's all right. I've won awards with people who I've sort of worked with. And it's really annoying. Because I think I did the work.
What, when someone else holds the award?
Yeah, and they're meant to have it for 2 years, then it'll be, you never see him again, you
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
It's the most annoying
thing. I didn't know that's what how it happened.
Why don't they just make enough for everyone?
Yeah.
No, they don't. They won't do that.
Ugh.
It's cheap, isn't it?
Cheap.
Ugh. It's cheap. So, Ruthie holds the awards, and they fight for it.
I like
properly
it.
In an octagon. And can I just add, to the death.
Right, sure.
The stakes are high.
No, Holmes. Schofield, morning death match.
Sure.
No, I'm saying, but that's about the time fights generally start in Vegas anyway. It's mid-morning.
That's true,
by the time you get
to
the main event, you're sort of watching at 10 in the morning. I'm just saying.
We'll get some viewers.
We're just seeing.
Some viewers.
Holmes move in for the kill. And in those little, those proper octagon shorts.
Yeah.
Radio X.
So, 1 in 10 of the world's most congested cities are in the UK!
Yes!
Yes! Now, do you know something?
It's in.
You know, what's good about it is traffic is one of those worldwide discussions. You know, bad traffic. Mm. One of the experiences, one of the only times you actually meet with someone who's native of a country is a driver taking you from an airport somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So, good conversation to get into. Whatever they say about the traffic, nothing. You want to take on the South Circle?
You haven't tried the
South Circle, mate. Or North Circular, if you're from that
North
side.
Circular.
But for us, South Circular. But everyone I know can pick out that black spot, that really bad
Hanger Lane gyratory,
yeah. It is only synonymous with bad traffic. It's the only time you work. Admittedly, it is the only time you ever hear it.
Yeah. But it is the hub between the South and North Circular, so it's really snarled up.
Absolutely right, Gav.
Yep. Oh, it'll get you.
Actually, if you look at the South Circular, it turns out it's not particularly circular.
No, it isn't. And it's quite disconnected from itself here and
there. In fact, if you look at, if you get the map of London, the North and South Circular, they were like, before London, I don't know when they were built. I don't know what fool decided to do. But actually, they're shaped exactly like a hedgehog.
They really are.
The whole structure sort of curves over the top of, anyway.
Yeah.
But wherever you're from, and my dad's the same, is there's a real snobbery once you start going on about, like, I was when we were in Manchester, I'll give you an example, I'll get to the point.
Yeah.
I was talking about how bad the South Circular was.
Yeah.
Because we'd just driven into Manchester, so it's worse than the South Circular. And someone said, no, Trafford Way is miles worse than that.
That was pretty bad, though.
Well, Trafford Way is much
it was
worse.
Really
no, you
bad.
Haven't got the Trafford Way, mate. And I suddenly realised we were getting a bit, I know there's a North-South thing, we were suddenly getting a bit competitive. And then I think there was someone else who was from, like, I can't remember where they're from. Like Cambridge or somewhere. So we're like, come on, you don't know about Oxford or something. You don't know about. And then you get a Brummie joining in. No, you don't want to go this time, mate. You'll never get there.
You never tried the B316.
You never tried the B316. When you go down there, mate, you never get through.
Everyone's got a jam, they know.
Yeah, but also, you do get those kind of random rural roads. You sort of think, I'll just turn off the motorway here. And you suddenly just get on some sort of A road.
And
at that time of day. And it generally is because there's one traffic light.
Because there's one road.
You're stuck for ages.
And miles and miles. You're thinking this is insane.
And there's no other activity around.
No. So please, I'd like you to celebrate your accident, your bad traffic spots, and just tell us where we should head to today if we really want to taste the congestion.
We can have a jam off.
Just where are you enjoying a bit of congestion right now? Tell us how to get there, what the road is, and really sell it to us. You know, if you want a bit, if you want a hit of congestion, head down to, etc. Johnny, Gav, Suntz, and the backroom team. Hi, Si. I always head down to the A13 between Canning Town Roundabout and the Barking Flyover around this time for a bit of lane swaying. You know the score, whatever lane you're in, the other one or two are quicker, so you change. Thanks, Nick. So if you want to enjoy a bit of that, a bit of lane changing.
Yeah, head down there.
It's what I call the old Mexican weave. The Puerto Rican swerve. That's when you bounce between all three and back up. Don't do that. Hey, JT. That's TJ, yeah? JT's, for me, JT's always John Terry.
Yeah.
If you fancy a great hit of congestion, can I just say, Simon, just by putting that on there, you're killing this, man. You're nailing it. hey, TJ, if you fancy a great hit of congestion surrounded by a tube sucking all those fumes in, head to the tunnels at Newport M4. That's Simon trying to get to Swansea. I tell you something, bad tunnel, congested tunnel pride, that's really low.
Oh man. That's the holy grail.
I don't know when Dartford or Blackwall or Rovive have ever been good.
They're never running smooth, John, ever.
Just assume it'll be bad.
That's right.
Dad, what do you got?
TJ, you want to try the Garion Bridge at dinner time. They even built a relief bridge to turn it into a roundabout. Many a good memory sat stationary there. That's from Peter.
Sweet times, Pete, sweet times. Johnny, oh my. I love a text who starts like that. Been waiting 4 years for this one. A27 Chichester between Tesco roundabout west to Sainsbury roundabout east. It's 2 miles of dual carriageway, but at 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, it'll take 25 to 55 minutes.
I know that stretch, and he's right, and it's a really short distance, and it just stops.
If Goodwood has an event there, game over. That's thank you very much, Simon. If you're in the area, head down there. Get down there, get a taste of it.
That next one there, Johnny. Go on.
It's the traditional Denton Rock roundabout Manchester, and he's just added, if you know, you know. All right, Suntz.
Alan, also Manchester, says head down to Trafford Boulevard near the Trafford Centre, Manchester, where traffic meets anger.
Where traffic meets anger, like, you know. That's Alan. Thanks, Alan. Good afternoon, TJ and the team. This is Scott in Brum. Shall I do accents? No, we'll just read them straight. For a throw into congestion, few roads in the UK, send me to the desolate depths of despair and hatred, quite like the M6 in the Midlands between junctions 4 and 10. Every single day, this 10-mile stretch can be walked faster than driving, offering depressing concrete to view along the way. Thank you very much indeed for that.
That's why all the metal in Britain comes from Birmingham.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What I love is people from Birmingham, when they show you something, they'll go, they spent $6 billion on this. This was meant to be a leisure centre with a driving range. And they literally just point to rubble.
A brown site.
Like an old warehouse. Just rubble on the ground and like an unfinished road. It was meant to be a leisure centre with a shopping centre. There's nothing. The council just nicked all the money. What do you got there, Gav?
There's a brilliant one here from Chris in Farnham. He says, hey, TJ, I once took my daughter to school on the South Circular in London from Putney to East Sheen, which is a horrible road.
It's awful.
But it's not even that far a distance. Putney to East Sheen, it's not that far. We got over taken by an elderly lady walking with a frame, not once, not twice, but 5 times. Oh. She was pretty pleased with herself. We were not.
Okay, that's Chris now in Farnham. So get down there then, South Circ.
Want to enjoy that one.
Get down there. Always bad. Although,
book early.
You might want to wait. Five Nations at Twickenham.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I don't think there's anything worse in Europe.
Ooh, Hampton Court Flower Show, that just kills the whole area.
It does kill it. You want a jam, John? The A127 in Essex, the stretch between Raleigh, Weir and Kent Elms. 40 minutes to do 4.5 miles. Oh. That's Gary, the lane-changing demolition engineer. Thanks, Gary. You gave us a real flavour of that. So, like he says, head down to the A127 in Essex, stretch between Raleigh, Weir.
Raleigh, Weir.
Raleigh, Weir. Of course, we've had
it as our pet town. Yeah. And Kent Elms, 40 minutes to 2, 4.5 miles. Wow, I'd love to get down there and get me a taste of that.
A bit of that really action.
Would. Keep those coming in. Your cherished memories. If you've got any really good traffic jam memories, put a name on there. And we'll try and get back to you, try and get you on the line so we can see if we can get someone live.
Someone to have met their future bride or spouse in a traffic jam.
Yeah, you're playing in my dreams. If you could tell us where's bad now, that would really help us. Where to head to now. Hang on a second, is this just travel news?
But in reverse, if you want traffic,
yes, exactly.
This is where you head to.
Good spin. Radio X. Time for the world's greatest nicknames. We are still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we've discovered part-time DJ Matthew Cook, who gets called Matt Boy Slim. Short Andy is nicknamed Shandy. And a bloke called the Universal Soldier because nobody ever saw him eat. How about that? Are you ready for this, guys?
Go on.
Keep them coming in, incidentally, to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Gav, what's Bill sent us in?
Bill says there were two health and safety guys at work who looked like brothers. So they were health and safety inspectors. We called them the Dukes of Hazzards.
Nice. That's very good, isn't it? Oh, very good.
Just
sir.
Add a little S at the
That's
end there.
That's great, isn't it?
Very good.
What you got there?
Kate says, I knew a bloke called Jeff, because you always had to say his name twice to get his attention.
Nice. You ready for this one? Here's Dave. Thank you very much for this, Dave. There was a bloke who worked at Liverpool Docks whose nickname was the Angry Cat. Because when he was asked to do something, he'd reply, me, ow. Hey! Oh! Hey!
Oh!
Hey!
Oh!
Oh! Keep coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Can I just say, you've got to include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
I used to know. I told you about a mate of mine's dad's called the Rooster.
Mm.
Did I tell you that already?
Why?
Because he wakes up at dawn every morning and just shouts at everyone. They call him the Rooster. I couldn't work out. He used to say, no, the Rooster was on the phone the other morning. He just wakes up straight and goes, what are you doing? Just goes mad.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Now, Woodman's seen something great on Twitter.
Twitter.
We have a phrase. Bad workman always blames his tools. I'm not saying it's bad that it's on Twitter, Gav. I always slightly like to generate our own stuff.
Sure.
Be a bit more special.
Sure.
But this did amuse me.
It is funny, yeah.
So, a bad workman always blames his tools. They say about sportsmen as well. In fact, it's in sport it's mostly applied. Like, yeah, but it's not my racket.
Yeah, this bat was too heavy on the end and, yeah, these gloves are a bit tight.
In the book of one-upmanship, it is one of the greatest ways to win at any sport is to borrow an opponent's any of the opponent's equipment, especially if he's got something new. He or she has got something new.
You take the older one.
Oh, you're playing tennis with someone's old tennis racket. Every point you score, and you're going, this is brilliant. Especially if he's not getting on.
Yeah, and it puts the seed of doubt in
golf
his
clubs.
Mind.
If you know anyone that's got some new golf clubs, you ever play them at golf? You say, oh, could I borrow? Because I've I'll use your...
Yeah.
Because you know it's just psychological. They'll never use them again.
No, they're just really
anyway,
ruining it.
Gav, give us the Portuguese equivalent. Do you know this, Sons?
No.
Oh, brilliant. Here we go.
So in Portuguese, they say a bad dancer always blames his trousers.
A bad dancer blames his trousers.
I really want to hear that on Strictly after one event.
Why do you love Strictly so much?
I just it's
you're
great
obsessed,
telly.
Gav.
It's great telly.
No, Gav, you're just obsessed.
I'm sorry, I keep ringing you during it and everything, but I'll stop.
And Gav, should I just tell you, and I say to you, this year, when it starts, I say to you every year, Gav, I'm not watching. He'll call me up and go, what do you reckon?
What
seven,
do you reckon?
Seven,
exactly, yeah.
Seven,
you
I reckon seven. Lara's Oakley, saying yeah. Eight, I reckon.
I know.
Unbelievable. I haven't watched it since Len quit. I really haven't watched it. Is Len still on it?
I don't know.
Well, I haven't watched it since he quit. I don't know really any of them apart from Bruno on that. Let's not talk about Strictly. A bad dancer always blames his trousers. Love that.
It's great.
What was that you were doing? Sorry, man, my trousers.
It's my trousers.
My trousers.
Yeah, I could have done that.
My trousers are all... Other sayings around the world that I've really enjoyed. It's only because Little Simon has got He's done research for something like this before, which I've been dying to use this, but we haven't had a peg to hang it on. Here are some wonderful phrases from around the world. In Swedish, they say "det är ingen ko på isen."
What does that mean?
There's no cow on the ice.
What does it mean?
It means don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
There's no cow on the ice.
Great. Using that.
Yeah.
I found a good Spanish one.
Yeah.
Más se consigue lamiendo que mordiendo.
What's that?
More is achieved by licking than biting. So in other words, persuade rather than force.
More is achieved by
licking than biting.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd like to take them to a decent steakhouse. what do you got there, Sunter? Oh, you haven't been given them. Sorry, no. You had something in front of you. I thought it was one of those ones where we've all got something. Here's another one from Portugal. Are you ready? They say, "Cam now, damn chow, catch a chomp, con gato."
What?
I don't know. Sounded Chinese.
You went all Brazilian.
I went all Brazil.
Brazil.
He who doesn't have a dog hunts with a cat.
Which means what?
Well, it just means it's like make the most of what you got.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
You haven't got a dog, hunt with a cat.
I found a good German one as well.
Go on then.
Das ist nicht mein Bier.
What's that?
It means that's not my problem. Literally, it means that's not my beer.
Nice.
So I don't have to drink that beer.
The best saying they've got coming out of Germany easily is everything has but one ending except the sausage.
What?
Oh. it means there's only going to be one outcome to this. Everything's only got one ending, apart from the sausage, which has two. Yeah! It's a belter, isn't it?
When the Japanese...
We're laughing with the nations, aren't we? We really are.
Very international.
When the Japanese describe a very small thing or a small space, they call it a cat's forehead.
Well, you're not going to attempt to pronounce that one.
No, I can't read Japanese.
Yeah. But they have another phrase as well, which is, it translates as to wear a cat on one's head.
And what does it mean?
It means you're hiding your claws and pretending to be a nice, harmless person.
Oh.
I might use that one.
Yes.
You already
it actually
do,
is quite fitting. Yes. Yes, you are, in fact. Sunta, she's one of the, you know, she's a bit of a, you know, wears a cat on her head.
Her cat's on her head.
Sunta Templeton, her cat's on her head, which actually sounds obscene.
Radio X.
So, do you like a bit of danger? Are you a thrill seeker? Dr. Sunta Templeton?
Yes.
Gav?
I am, yeah. Well, I like a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
I love roller coasters.
They're brilliant.
I just love them.
Why don't we do roller coasters more?
We should do.
Yeah,
do you like Swarm thingy? Do you prefer Swarm or that one?
Swarm.
I love it as well. I love a roller coaster. And I tell you what I really like doing, really talking up how it could go wrong on the queue.
I love doing that.
Really obsessing people.
You're really upset. I said, no, it could do. And then you start about America and what happened.
I also really like a roller coaster that's built out of wood.
Yeah.
There's a real risk factor.
I love
to
Have you been on one of those big old wooden ones?
I did one in Houston on the boardwalk, which was from like 1910. And it was terrifying.
Brilliant.
Is there a boardwalk in Houston?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was by the seaside. I always thought it was sort of like right in the middle of a desert.
It's up there on the boulevard.
Up there on the boulevard. Anyway, I've been on a wooden one. I can't remember. When I was about 15, somewhere in California. Is it Five Flags? Or
yeah.
Yes.
Called Colossus?
Six Flags. I don't know, but it was really rickety.
Mm.
And I found it a lot better than, say, Space Mountain. You know, it was really...
Yes. Yeah.
You really get that... Well, and it also makes
that ratchet thing on the way.
That's not the point.
Yeah. I love that.
This wasn't meant to be a roller coaster discussion.
Go on.
Okay. I love a roller coaster.
They're awesome.
Do you know something? If you join that roller coaster club, they get them for an hour.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the club gets it for an hour.
Wow.
But the disadvantage of that is the longer you queue, the shorter the ride seems.
That's true, yeah.
Right.
They found this. Oh, no, it was a phony report I wrote. Oh, no, I made that up. You know, I made it up to show the value of relative. It was my way of illustrating to my children relativity.
Right.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yep.
Danger washers for sale, right? Washing machines that are at risk of bursting into flames can be sold on social media sites despite product recalls.
Right. Ooh. So the law hasn't caught up with social media yet.
It hasn't. No, you can just do it anyway. It doesn't really matter. Electrical safety first. That's the ESF.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really extreme like political movement from like East Germany.
Power chiefs.
When he left to join the so-called ESF. We want information. 9. Electrical Safety First placed two hot points on Facebook and eBay with model numbers included in a recent recall.
Yeah.
Marketplaces aren't even taking some of the most basic steps to protect consumers, Charlie said. Tell you what, though. If you really want, you get six of them, yeah?
Yeah.
Put your washing in.
Sure.
It's like Russian laundrette. No, I'm just saying. Bit edgy.
Mao! Yeah,
exactly. It's just an edgy way.
Will you get your clean washing back?
No, you've got six machines in a row.
That is some television.
You got your washing there, yeah? And, you know, you obviously paid money. And there's people going, Mao! Mao!
Yeah.
The owner. And you just... Yeah.
Well, you either get clean clothes... Or they get burned.
You start it up and it's got your best clothes. You're thinking, oh, God, please don't. Oh, no. Woo! And then it goes into, it's when it goes into spin dry. I think that's the danger moment.
Yeah.
It's just an idea.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Martin in the Radio X office has had a broken heart. Thank you very much, fans. Thank you. For over 6 years, which inspired our feature.
Le robinet chaud de Martin, il en a besoin d'un nouveau.
Mais oui.
Mais il ne peut pas être hard de le faire. Le robinet chaud de Martin, cassé depuis longtemps.
Zut alors.
Mais qu'est-ce que tu n'as pas réparé qui s'est cassé?
Mange tout, Martin, mange tout.
So embarrassing.
That
was awesome.
Let's have it again. It's when he comes in with the zut alors. Let's do it again. If something wastes a bit of time and is actually good, and it happens between 4 and 7, do it again.
Le robinet chaud de Martin, il en a besoin d'un nouveau.
Mais oui.
Mais il ne peut pas être hard de le faire. Le robinet chaud de Martin, cassé depuis longtemps.
Zut alors.
Mais qu'est-ce que tu n'as pas réparé qui s'est cassé?
Mange tout, Martin, mange tout.
So embarrassing.
And a superb French accent.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark Sayers. That's his continental version of the Martin's Hot Tap theme, or Le Robinet Chaud de Martin. But that's zut alors. Didn't that get you?
Really?
It was so sort of commanding. It was. He was doing that with his 15-year-old daughter, Rosie, who obviously finds dad embarrassing. We think he's got a certain masculinity that's...
Mange tout.
Very much so.
Yeah, exactly right. As the song says, we're after all those things you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Hashtag MHT, hashtag CBA. If you want to have a go, send your efforts to johnny@radiox.co.uk. And also, please do that. Please do it. Because it's a lot better than us singing it.
Yeah, and if it's as good as that, we'll definitely play it.
Honestly, we'll play it even if it's not good.
Yeah, I think
absolutely
so.
Right. Absolutely right. But if you can manage a zut alors. Seriously, that skews well to our female demographic. And indeed, some of the chaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Gav, what do you got?
This is from Dan in Manchester. Dan says, I have a house plant that grew to become a little tall for its own good and has needed propping up for the past 2 years. In the absence of a support stake, I've been using spaghetti or linguine that needs changing every time I water the plant.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In my experience, linguine is preferable.
Yes. Yeah,
because it's a little bit stouter.
It is.
You want your thicker pastas.
Gav, do you really know your way around your pastas?
A little bit. I would have recommended bucatini, which is that fat spaghetti with a hole down the middle of it. Oh. That would have been nice and strong.
Okay, what's the bow-shaped one called?
Farfalle.
That's called farfalle.
That's
okay,
not I believe. Very good for helping.
No, that's good. No, I was just asking him. I just wanted to know. I haven't got a new DIY pasta stuff. No, but quite good for balancing tables if they're a bit wobbly.
Great for making a bow tie for your cat.
Yeah, you could whack a bit of tagliatelle around it, couldn't you?
Yes.
You could combine that. And that'd go really nicely. But don't put any meat sauce on that. That cat will be lapping that up, especially like a tuna one. Yes, but you're right. Great for making a bow tie for a cat.
Yes.
Or a Pomeranian, even. Okay, go on.
Adam from Devon has sent this one in. The twisty mechanism that makes my bath plug go up and down has broken. After
oh,
being,
dear.
It's annoying.
Hang on, wait a second. That is the most annoying thing.
Annoying.
Can I say, all manufacturers, just give us normal plugs.
It's so unnecessary.
Those popper ones that
I'm on my third one, and the bath is probably what? 2 years old.
The one in one of my bathrooms. I got a mess of bathrooms.
Sure.
And I haven't. But one in the other bathroom for the spare room.
Yeah.
It keeps getting stuck, which means I've got to undo the YouTube and just whack it from below. It's really annoying.
Do you know what the fix is?
What?
Unscrew it.
Yeah.
Pull out the bit that unscrews and spray it with furniture polish.
Yeah, but Gav, I can't get it out.
And squidge it a couple of times. If you can grip it enough.
I can't grip it enough. Gav, if I could do that, I wouldn't have to take the YouTube off. Go on.
Right. After being stuck with water in the bath and using a butter knife to get the plug out, I discovered that tying a piece of dental floss around the plug was the perfect solution.
Ooh.
It's strong enough to pull the plug out and the dental floss floats, so it's always easily accessible.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
3 years my system is still going strong.
How about that? Do you know, I love it if the quick fix has lasted for ages.
Yeah.
It really is exciting. You ready for this one?
Go on.
This is Ben in Norfolk. Thank you so much for this beauty, Ben. Afternoon, all. We used to live in Corfu in Greece when a local ironmonger was fitting new shutter hinges to our old village house. He got his drill bit stuck.
Yeah.
Instead of fixing it, he just cut it off and welded the hinge
to the
bit that was stuck in the stone. It is still hanging there after 16 years.
Wow.
Awesome. Yes. If you've got any examples of DIY dodges or bodges, send your Martin's Hot Taps to 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. It is the greatest item in the history of radio. Thank you so much once again to Mark Sayers and Rosie for that fantastic song.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. And you'll get the 4 till 7 thang downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Leave him to his own devices. Actually, these days, that's not a bad thing.
That's pretty much everyone.
That's pretty much what your wife does to you.
People are being left to their devices.
That's pretty much what your wife does to you every night. She just leaves you to your own devices.
That's right.
Exactly right. Please keep the reviews coming. Sunt, very wry, that laugh there, Sunt.
Oh, yes.
But that was lovely, wasn't it?
It was a lovely piece of work.
It was a lovely... please keep those reviews coming in on iTunes. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk, and that'll very much be someone else's problem. Radio X.